uploading Lizette's presentation. I'd like to introduce her, and actually, Lizette may be able to answer your very good question about a prepared everyone, because she'll be talking about the community engagement piece and may have some really good pearls for us to think about. So Lizette Osborne is a nursing executive with over 21 years of public health administration, program management, and experience. She currently serves as the manager of preparedness branch in the community preparedness section of the Texas Department of State Health Services. She's had positions in public health as the director of nursing for Howard County in Maryland, and the director of school health services for the Baltimore Health Department. Lizette is active in emergency preparedness and public health nursing at the local, state, and national level. She's past president of the Association of Public Health Nurses, formerly the Association of State and Territorial Nursing Directors. She's been instrumental in the recognition of ASTDN and the incorporation of APHN. She serves on the Maternal Child Health Work Group of the National Association of County and Health Officials, is a member of the National Nursing Committee of the Red Cross, and is a site visitor for FAB, or the Public Health Accreditation Board. After living, something interesting about Lizette, after living 20 years in Maryland, Lizette now resides in her native state of Texas, where she holds a bachelor's and master's degree in nursing from the University of Texas Health Science Center, San Antonio. Go Longhorns. Okay, so Lizette, come on up.
And sometimes I have spare time where I get the date right, but not today. I have nothing to disclose, and I'm going to talk about community engagement and what your role is in preparedness. So first I need to take the pulse of the room. Can I see the nurses out there? Okay, let me see the non-nurses out there. Okay. Now for both of those groups, those who have a role in preparedness. Thank you. So we're going to talk a little, and this is I don't know who has seen me present and who hasn't seen me present, but I like the audience to do most of the work. So this is going to be very interactive, and you get a prize if you have your business card and are one of those chosen. I think everybody was in here, but I did see a few extra people come in. We brought some giveaways, so if you're here at the end and you've put, yep, anyhow, we'll have a bag go around in a minute, put your business card in or your name on a piece of paper. So what's your role in preparedness? I've got four takeaway messages for you. First off, can I see the experts in the room? You've heard me talk before. Okay, so Alex is the only, no, and myself. There are only two of us that consider ourselves to be experts. Not know-it-alls, but experts. Why are you not an expert? Because you are. You are an expert about something, and I'm going to bet you're an expert about your field of nursing, unless you just graduated last semester. I'm going to bet you're an expert at some area of preparedness, if that's your area of expertise. Wherever your area is, I'm going to bet you are an expert. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I am an expert. Not that I'm a know-it-all, but I am an expert. So the first thing we need to do is to identify who our partners are. If we're talking about partnering, this was your question. Talking about partnering and how do we get all those players together. And certainly I'm not going to walk across the hall to the emergency managers and say, come on, guys, we need to get together. Fire chief, we need to get together, because they're not going to listen. First, define your community. So I'm going to give you some challenges. Everybody's got some, and here are the challenges that I have in Texas. First off, everything is bigger in Texas. It's a big state equals big challenges. And just to give you a little bit of perspective, if you're driving from Dallas to Houston, so that's, everybody knows where Dallas and Houston is, right? Okay. That's a 3.5-hour drive. If you're driving from Houston, which is on the east side of the state, all the way to El Paso, which is on the west side of the state, that's an 11-hour drive. If you're driving from Harlingen, which is at the tip of the state down at by Mexico, to Dallam County, not Dallas, Dallam County, which is the top left county in the panhandle. That's a 13-hour drive. That's a lot of movement if you're having to respond to an emergency. We've got 254 counties, about 1,200 cities, 64 local health departments, and 22 trauma service areas. I'll talk about that in just a second. And we have anything from cars to skyscrapers.
Cows. They look like cars.
They'll hurt you. Yeah. On the healthcare side, we've got over 186,000 nurses, 60,000 physicians, 630 hospitals with 83,000 beds of any sort of licensed bed kind. 27% of those are located in rural areas. 73% located in urban areas, and then you can see the hospital ownership of about 51% private, about a third are non-profit. Private, for-profit, 28% non-profit, and then 21% government. So the Texas, just to give you a little bit of background, the Texas public health delivery system is a bit of a hybrid. We are considered a home rule state, which means we give the money. It comes from the feds, channels through us, goes out to the local health department, who then pretty much decides what they want to do with it. They have to meet the criteria of the grant, but they're going to make their own decisions. We can recommend, but they're going to make their own decisions. So our state is divided into 8 health service regions, and in the absence of a local health department, that health service region is going to serve as the local health department. The local health departments cover the majority of the population. You'll see them along the I-35 corridor, your Houston, Dallas, the larger cities, and then the health service regions cover the majority of the geography. So here's a picture that kind of depicts all of that. You could just forget the legends, and I'll just talk you through it. This is our emergency support function 8, so that's health and medical. Our public health and medical stakeholders, and this map is still current from 2013. So the colored areas there represent those 8 health service regions. The dark line that defines the letters, the bolded letters, those are the trauma service areas. So those are specific to, it's a legislated defined area specific for, remember when our EMS systems had to get a patient into a level 1 trauma center within a certain amount of time? Well, that's how those were defined. And we use those for our hospital preparedness program geographic definitions. The numbered dots are our local health departments that participate in our public health emergency preparedness program, and I think that's it. So this is the same state, obviously. The red show the local health departments, and the white show the areas that are not covered by local health departments and are covered by the state health department through those 8 health service regions. The blue dots are part of the lab response network. So coming back to your question about how do you get all the players together, we're still working on defining that community. We are a part of that emergency support function 8, or ESF 8, health and medical, but we are just one rung of that emergency management umbrella. Your air traffic controllers fit in there somewhere. Somewhere in your state is this Department of Emergency Management. And I'm betting that your particular area of emergency preparedness and response lies within that overarching umbrella. So, how do you define your community, and who are your community partners? Is it your local community, or now that we have Ebola creeping over here, have you included the rest of the world in who are your community partners, and where do you need to focus your efforts? So let's start here. Let's start some dialogue. I want to hear from you. Who is in your community? We're going to start with you, your family, and your neighbors. Who's next? Community-based organizations. Who else?
Faith-based organizations.
faith-based organizations. Who else? Schools. Younger kids, older kids, college kids, law enforcement, nursing homes, long-term care facilities, businesses. Okay. So what about your first responders and your first receivers? I'm told that first receivers is kind of a dated term, but I still like it. I think it makes sense. Do you know who first receivers are? Does everybody know that term? I see yeses and nos. Your first receivers are your folks in the ambulance and your folks in the emergency room. How many of you are hospital-based nurses? Any of you? Yes, good. Thank you. Glad you're here. Because I'm going to tell you, public health nurses and public health emergency response, we kind of get this, but we have a real hard time making the connection with hospital-based nurses. Do you know who your emergency manager is, and or are you the emergency manager?
No, but
I'm okay. But even as an emergency room nurse, I want to make sure you go back and you find who your emergency manager is and talk about.
Oh, I'm trying to get that.
Very good. Okay, good. Okay, so first responders, first receivers, emergency room nursing. We talked a little bit about some of who are these other healthcare professionals, long-term care facilities, our hospitals, dialysis centers, mental health, your local FQHC. Who else? Sure, federally qualified health center, so community center, sorry about the acronym. So emergency managers, your local health departments, non-governmental agencies you spoke about, the American Red Cross, faith-based organizations. There you go. Grocery stores, pharmacies, schools. Big push this year in the funding opportunity announcement from the CDC involved local dentists. I get it. And I don't get it. I get it that there's a forensic piece, but I also think there may be some. I saw a presentation at the CDC summit or NACHO summit, I guess it was, that talked about flu clinics.
Yeah,
utilize.
We use them during H1N1. We gave them the authority to give vaccinations. We trained them.
Massachusetts, right? So Massachusetts used dentists during H1N1. So I mean, you know, they're in your mouth with a needle. They can do this. So partnering with your local...
Resource utilization?
Absolutely. And think out here, because that's where all of these partners are. The normal suspects, right? Local, state, and federal government. And then, of course, there's the CDC, and there's the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. And I always have to look at that because I always miss a word. We call them ASPR for short, and, of course, the CDC. So two federal grants come out of these two, and I think that's where I'm going. Nope. Okay, so planning is everything, and I want you to be sure to identify all those potential partners that are way out here that you never would have thought about using the vets. Not the military vets. Veterinarians, because what are you going to do with all those animals? Animal shelters.
And they can give shots,
too. Yeah, they can give shots, but I'm not so sure I want to go there.
You might need to in an emergency.
And you want to plan together. So if you're not already reaching out and talking to folks, those other people outside of your own discipline, you need to be doing that, and you need to do it, as Claire said, before the emergency happens. Collaboration is not always easy, but it is the key. And there is no alpha dog. We all bring something to the table. It's hard to get past that alpha dog thing. There is no alpha dog. You need to get to know your partners in advance of the disaster. Because what happens when two dogs meet each other for the first time? Okay, they got to check it out. I call it the rooster walk. We do that too. No alpha dog. You need to be able to collaborate. So talking a little, where am I on time? Talk fast. Okay. So we have two grants, as I said. There's the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program grant from the CDC, and there's the Hospital Preparedness Program from ASPR, the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, which is under HHS, Health and Human Services. These, if you are hospital-based, and you are working with your local health department or whoever administers the dollars that come out of this federal grant, that's where they come from, the HPP or the Hospital Preparedness Program. Public health disaster planning all comes out of the CDC and in the FEP grant. The focus is pretty much the same for both population health, individual health. You can look at it that way. On the public health emergency preparedness side, there are 15 capabilities, and if you had to pull out what were the key capabilities, I would say it's epidemiology and surveillance, the lab response network. I showed those red dots in Texas. I'm not going to tell you how many. I think we have 12. The lab response network is nationwide, and what that means is that the capabilities and competencies in one of our labs is the same as in one of someone else's lab that is a part of this lab response network. When we test for Ebola, the same test and same result will happen at the CDC because they're all a part of that same network. So, rapid dispensing of medications and responder safety and health. This is public health. On the hospital preparedness side, focusing on those individuals and the healthcare system. And I would say that the key components here are mass casualty planning, medical surge planning, which looks right now at immediate bed availability. How do you move people out of your ER into a room, out of a room so you can get more in? And then again, responder safety and health. So tying this all back to public health and public health nursing, what are the three core functions of public health?
Development.
There you go. Assessment, assurance, and policy development. Everybody's got that. And then the 10 essential services right there. I love this picture mainly because I love rainbows. But you can, if you don't have this in your slide bank, you can download this from the CDC at no cost and use it as long as you tell people where you got it. Maybe even not. Anyhow, so I pulled out just a couple of things that we do in preparedness to put into those three core functions. In assessment, we do jurisdictional risk assessments, looking at what is the risk for the community. And this is done not in a silo. This is done with our emergency management partners. What are the mitigation efforts that have taken place? Then what is the residual risk? What's left between the mitigation and the risk factor? We look at social vulnerability in lab and epi. Under policy development, there's planning, there's developing and maintaining partnerships, and in assurance, maintenance of lab competency and maintaining our response capabilities. So, what is the difference between an emergency and a disaster? A disaster exceeds your ability to respond to it. So folks respond every day, taxes your resources. So there are emergencies every day. The ambulance rolls out, it's a couple cars and a pileup, but they do it every day. It's an emergency, but they're able to respond. When it taxes the resources, then it becomes a disaster. So now, secondly, why are disasters considered local events? All emergencies start local. There's another piece to this. Follow that one through. All emergencies, all disasters end locally. So the recovery happens locally. We know in the public health world that once the disaster happens, and we're generally not there at the beginning, but public health comes in for that recovery. And then we go away, and FEMA goes away, and the locality is left to recover. So they start local and they end local. Takeaway number three, make a decision. How many of you work for, have worked for, been around, have a spouse who will not make a decision? Yeah, don't be that guy. Make a decision. Well thought out, not a knee jerk, make a decision. That's takeaway number three. Now I want to talk just a second about what happens when your world turns upside down. And are you prepared? Those are my grandkids, my son and my daughter-in-law. Aren't they awesome? I'll see them at Thanksgiving. Yes, sweet. Are you prepared for this guy? Okay, hospital. I'm picking on you because you're the only hospital nurse in the room. When was the last time you did somebody else hospital? Okay. When was the last time you did a donning and doffing exercise or training of a...
There you go.
So you got the bunny suit, you got the papper, the, you know, like the Dustin Hoffman deal. Yeah. Whoever thought as nurses that we would be wearing that kind of isolation equipment? Not me. Yeah. So are you prepared? And if you're not prepared, you need to be thinking about this guy. Are you prepared? This is a wildfire picture out of Bastrop in Texas a couple years ago. Pretty massive. Are you prepared for a wildfire? And I'm talking now your personal preparedness. Where are your paper, your important papers in your house? And if you need to grab them and go, could you do it? How many of you right now know, how many of you have kids? How many of you know right now where your children are? How many of you know right now? How many of you don't want to know where they are? How many of you know where your spouse is or think they are? Okay. And could get a hold of them if you needed to. Okay. Are you prepared for a flood? If you're from Louisiana, probably so. If you're from Lubbock, Texas, maybe not. What about this one, Lubbock, Texas? There you go. That's kind of a cool picture with twin twisters there. This is the one that, you know, will take you by surprise. And we've seen it in Moore, Oklahoma. We've seen it in Joplin. Just saw some really good presentations from Moore, Oklahoma, about how they've made changes in their preparedness areas in their hospitals. So I want to tell you that preparedness starts at home. You can take this all the way up the ladder to work with your partners, to work with your emergency managers, to work with the Department of Public Safety, or whatever you call those people, fire and rescue, hospitals, long-term, all of those partners we talked about. Do you have a safety plan at home? What's in your trunk? There you go. Do you have a safety plan? Do you have enough canned food for 3 days? And do you have a manual can opener that works? And what about water? Okay, I asked you about your kids. Do your kids and your parents know how to reach you? And what if the phone system goes down? Do you have an out-of-state contact where everybody hooks up? Does your child's school have a disaster plan, and do you know what it is? And I'm talking whether or not that's a college or an elementary school or a high. Do you know what it is? Do you know what your role is if something happens in that school? What about your work site? So, okay, talking fast. What can you do? Be engaged. Make a plan. Discuss it with your family. Volunteer. Claire talked a little bit about the Medical Reserve Corps. Every state has a Medical Reserve Corps so that pre-disaster registration can happen. Do it now. Do it when there's not a disaster going on. Get your credentialing done so that in the event you can be available to your state. Don't even worry about somebody else's state, although that's good too, but so that you are available. The Red Cross. The Red Cross has volunteer opportunities, there's the word. Check in with the Red Cross. Volunteer with the Red Cross. The Red Cross, before any of these other folks get activated, the Red Cross is going to stand up for the fire down the street. That's an emergency, and there are resources that are taxed that cannot be met, and the Red Cross will be there. And if you're a volunteer, you can be a part of that. Be informed. Carry the right message. I judge the hysteriometer, the closer it is to 5 p.m. on a Friday, depends on where that hysteriometer is, right? If you look at the first Ebola case and the stuff that was coming out on Facebook, we're all going to die. Oh, my God, the hysteriometer. Be informed and carry the right message. Debunk all that stuff that is bunk. Okay, here are the takeaway messages. Be the expert. How many of you are experts? Every hand goes up. Collaborate at all costs. There is no alpha dog. Make a decision. And keep in mind that preparedness is personal. Start there and work your concentric circle out. Here's why I do it. There's all my little peeps. And there's me.